¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
¡Ay, ay, ay, ay! ¡Ah!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. Hey, it's fun. Hey, it's preview to Super Bowl week. Postmortem on the conference championships. We're having a good time. We're ready to rock and roll. Almost a casa llena de primos. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. We got Primo Hector Reyes.
What's up, baby? Y'all?
Ricky Torres, he is gonna be he's traveling this week, so we're missing him, so not as many arguments as usual, but we do have plenty more primos. Primo Nico Gutierrez,
vale.
Yeah, and Primo Greg dropping up, more guys? Knowledge.
What's up, guys?
Como estamos, baby? Como estamos? Well, hey guys, I mean, it was, you know, people talk about the fact that I think it's John Madden who said that the conference Ooh. Championship is the best Sunday of football all year. And I don't think it disappointed. I do not think it disappointed. You know, we've all texted back and forth, kind of going back and forth a little bit, you know, but this is the first time we really get to check. So, hey, let's just kind of go around a little bit on this one. I mean, start off with the closing game, and you'll find out why we're starting off with that one. I mean, Chiefs 38-24 over the Bills. I mean, this was just, you know, just a spanking.
Yep.
I mean, last week we were talking about the fact, and I know, Greg, you were really kind of like wary a little bit about Mahomes and his toe injury and the concussion. Was it a concussion? Was it not a concussion? But I mean, he just 325 yards and three touchdowns. He did not look like he even had a limp. I mean, nope. How incredible was he? I mean,
they're unbeatable. I mean, they are unbeatable right now. And this is the time to be unbeatable.
This is true. You know, I think, you know, my theme tonight is going to be coaching. You know, we didn't really talk about it, but you look at a couple games here and we all knew the quarterbacks were great. We all knew there was great wide receivers and hookups. And, you know, we sort of knew what we were getting from offensive lines and defensive lines, but the coaching, we didn't really talk about it. And I think the coaches really probably won these games.
Oh yeah. They, I mean, they definitely, it's funny.
Or you know, lost the game.
And lost.
Muy cierto.
Lost. Yeah.
Muy cierto. Very true. Very true. I mean, you know, with the Chiefs, I mean, there was no panic. They get down 9-0. And it's almost like that boxer who gets hit for the first time. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, now I'm going to wake up. Now it's time to fight. And then kicks the other guy's butt.
It's like Seabiscuit, man. Like, oh, Seabiscuit's like 15 lengths behind. It's like, okay, we're just kind of cruising. Oh, is it time to go? Okay, let's go. And then, it, you know, shift it in the next gear. And then it's just game over. I mean, the Chiefs have done this so many times. And it's pretty crazy.
I mean, to me, the big thing is there. I don't think there is a defense that can stop Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
On this planet, at least.
They all know that they're coming their way, and I mean, it's just scary watching them. I mean, I know Nico, you try and get Kelce from time to time, but I mean, it's just. I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I mean, what an incredible. I mean, just what an incredible and lethal combination that these guys are.
Yeah, didn't Kelce have three TDs? Like, I could have sworn Kelce had three touchdowns.
No, he had two.
Two? Oh man, it seemed like he had three. Jesus, that guy kept on. Every time he looked up, he was in the end zone. Like, oh my god,
he was just getting everything. And then like Tyreek Hill, I mean, it was just like Nico, Greg, either one of you guys. I mean, it's just like what kind of the speed is one thing, but it's the quickness, the ability to change direction and the quick feet and everything like that. That it's not just straightaway speed with him. He is absolutely just incredible. Just absolutely incredible.
Like a video game. Tyreek Hill is not even like, I mean, people say it and it's almost cliche until you see him. And it's like, my God, like there's no one that can match his speed. I mean, you know, the only way he gets tackled is because he's like tired after running, you know, 50 yards, you know, left to right horizontally. And then by the time, you know, he's actually a little bit tired at the 10 yard line and someone could actually catch him at that point. Cause my God, the guy's just, he really does have a different gear than anybody else. It's crazy.
It's funny because these new tight ends, I mean, Kittle, same way. These guys, the yards after catch, it's like, wow. And the old Gronk style where you just kind of go big out there and catch it and kind of move until you can finally get tackled. You know, that I think that tight end is kind of like gone. I mean, they're still going to be around, but I love watching those tight ends that know how to run and get, you know, run down for a touchdown from the 50. You know, it's great.
Yeah, speed there too.
No, Nico, I think you nailed it right there because the Gronk is – was the model, right? The Hernandez, Gronk, the two tight end sets. And it's almost like a high-low post in basketball where the big guy is going and gets his position. And how do you defend the Kelce or the Gronk, right? Where Gronk's not the same guy anymore, but Kelce goes in, spins around, ball's there, boom. And then you got to bring him down. And that's hard for, you know, a 280-pound, 109-pound, whatever, you know, defense back to come in. And he just drags people down. So, you know, he's definitely the game changer. I think we knew that going in. Like that was the chalk play of the day. And and then when you look at Tyreek, like if you go back to like weeks, I don't know what weeks it was, but it was like maybe it was like 11 through 14 or where it was like he had 10 catches or 14 target, whatever. It was like a 4-week stretch and then he got hurt. So he was sort of soft. And then you knew, and again, it goes back to 2 weeks ago where I got to have Tyreek and Kelce, and I know they're going to get catches. I know they're going to get yards. Whether or not they get in the end zone, it was like, but it was there. You know, it just happened, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. And clearly, going into the Super Bowl, I mean, you got to imagine that it'll just happen again. So,
oh yeah, well, the thing is, and when you're talking about Tyreek, you know, talking about happening again, remember that 203-yard first quarter that he had earlier this season? Guess who he's had it? He did it against. Tampa Bay.
Oh, there we go.
Watch so, out. Something, a little something to think about for next week. For next week when we preview the Super Bowl.
Put your money. Put your money on the Chiefs, man. Are they still minus three?
Yeah, they started out at 3.5, and then it dropped down to 3 because some of the sharps put some money on them early on. So that always worries me when the sharps go nuts on that one.
Yeah, Chiefs are gonna win. That's automatic. I mean, it may be a blowout. I don't know, man. Didn't the Bucks lose two of their DBs or two of their both of their starting safeties are out, right?
I mean, both of their starting safeties, though, it definitely looks like the Chiefs are going to be without their two starting tackles. Eric Fisher, the number one pick in 2013, he blew out his Achilles in the game. And then Mitchell Schwartz, their right tackle, got hurt his back. And then Andy Reid already said he's not optimistic that he's going to play. So that's big because the Packers lost their two tackles and they had Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul in the backfield all day long. So that's going to be that's going to be, you know, it's funny, you know, does the secondary and the injuries for the Buccaneers, is that the bigger factor or the tackles? So very interesting.
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, we know the Chiefs, we know Andy Reid, you know, to Greg's point, Andy Reid's not going to say, oh, well, I guess we're done. We lost these two guys. We have no chance now. Like, no, Andy Reid will game plan, you know, figure out, you know, who the replacements are. If Mahomes needs to get dumped the ball off quick, he will. And that's not a bad thing either. You give the ball to Tyreek, you know, a quick screen to Tyreek, and the guy's going to gain 60 yards on, you know, run after catch. So no matter what anybody does, no matter who's hurt, it just doesn't seem like Fisher being out, Schwartz being out, that's just not enough to impact the Chiefs. They'll figure out a way to work through that and still be very successful.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Mahomes' strength and Reed's strength is using motion, misdirection, mobile quarterback.
Yep.
And maybe it takes away, I'm not sure I could comment on whether their run blocking skills are different, but any offensive lineman would much rather run block than pass block anyway. So that might be easier for the replacement. So we'll see.
There you go.
And, you know, over on the Bills side, I mean, it just, Josh Allen had 287 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. He just did not look like himself.
And that was really strange. He all season long, I mean, I've kind of admired watching Josh Allen, just how his poise in the pocket and just his confidence back there. And he just looked like a completely different guy. I don't know if he was starstruck or I don't know what the deal was. He just, he just looked very like anxious back there. He just looked kind of just out of it. He did not look like himself at all. That confident guy that we saw all season long. He just looked kind of lost a little bit back there. It was just kind of weird to see.
I heard Greg Cassell talk a little bit about the game in that, again, it's going to probably go back to the coaching comment that KC was like holding out to the last minute to show what they were doing. Even if like Allen was pulling out of a play and opting, you know, and calling the second play, they would still stick in it and then they would adjust. So I think it was just, you know, Reed and the defense just sort of sitting back, stay strong, and then get the matchups, whether it was zone or the man stuff. It just, you're, I think they just got to him. And I think the coaching ultimately won that game.
Yep.
Oh, big time, big time. I mean, yeah. You know, kind of doing a postmortem on the Bills for 2021. I mean, Allen, the good thing about it for, I mean, he had such an incredible season, but you know, kind of having the tough loss at the end of the season, I think that's a good thing to kind of keep them hungry. But yeah. To me, the big thing about the Bills, they need to get a running game. Devin Singletary, this is year two, and it's not happening. Zach Moss, you know, finished the year injured. They got to figure out their running game because yeah. They can't just put it all on Josh Allen.
Thurman Thomas, man. I heard that guy's good.
He's my age, so
maybe he'll find his helmet this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one final thought there. Diggs, I mean, they put the double down on him, you know. More to the next game, we could talk about that too with Adams, but it was just like, no, Diggs, you're not getting open, you know. So that was a key thing.
Definitely. They really took him out of the game. And that was very impressive. And to me, that kind of signals that secondary for the Chiefs is going to be scary. They're going to be ready for the next game. But yep. Speaking of the next game, Buccaneers 31, Packers 26. It's kind of like, this game was so frustrating because you think about that touchdown at the end of the second quarter. Where Greg, you called it. Scotty Miller was a play because of Antonio Brown being hurt. So that was and just goes up top for 39 yards, touchdown in the end zone, beats Kevin King, and it's just like really.
I was surprised they didn't fire the defensive coordinator during the game.
Right, because he called man coverage.
Remember that Raiders game with Jess? Yeah.
How do you call man coverage on that play? That's just bonkers. Mm-hmm. Are you playing man to man?
Yeah.
Wow. That's your last shot. You know, even I was like, oh, he's going to go to the end zone. They're not, you know, he's not going to go for, you know, they're not going to try for the field goal. Brady's going to the end zone. Like I knew that. And I'm like nobody, you know, I'm just a guy watching football. Like how could the defensive coordinator for the Packers not think, you know what, Brady might take a shot to the end zone. Maybe I should just throw my guys back there and just prevent anything from getting past the DBs, you know, from, you know, the guy getting behind the DBs, just completely prevent that. And you go man covers and God, Scotty Miller just blew right by the guy too. Like, oh my God, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
I was really hoping my boy Tyler Johnson was going to get a few more looks in there, but he did have another pretty spectacular catch. You know,
yeah, he did. Yes. That guy's good. There you go.
That'll be something to watch. And that's the thing, right? These guys are going to have 2 weeks to prepare. And all the trick plays they designed all year, they didn't bring them out because the coach doesn't want to show his best if he doesn't have to, right? So,
right. Dude,
we're going to see all that razzle-dazzle, like those trick plays and like, I mean, that underhand toss to Kelsey going back to last game from Mahomes, like he's a softball pitcher. I'm like, what?
You know? Yes, awesome. And,
it's almost like a forward option.
Yeah.
We'll see more of that in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs always do one of those in the Super Bowl, something nuts.
Yeah.
We're going to see it, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
No, it is. No. You know, the incredible thing is this is the third straight road win for the Bucks, who were the wild card. And now they get to play the away team in Tampa Bay. So that's just beautiful.
This is the first time, I think I read that this is the first time ever that a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl gets to play on his home stadium. I think this is the first time ever that's happened.
Yeah, there have been two times. There have been two times where
the Niners game.
The Niners played a home game in Palo. Well, it wasn't a home game, but they were. It was in Palo Alto, so they were playing at Stanford Stadium.
Stanford Stadium, yeah, I remember that.
So that was kind of, and then kind one
of,
year
kind of home,
yeah. And then the last year that the Rams played at the Coliseum, 1979, the Super Bowl was at the Rose Bowl. So that was that. But no, this is so the first
same
time
city,
in the home
but not home field, not home field, but same city, home city, not home field. So that's pretty cool.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction here.
Go for it.
The headset communications for the visiting team are gonna go out mysteriously during the game.
power outage. Yeah, another power outage like the Ravens Niners game. Going back to Bucks Packers. I mean, what happens now? You know, with the head coach Matt LaFleur. What happens? It's just. The field goal call, that's going to go down in history as, like, you know, Packer fans will never, ever forget that you kicked a field goal, like, or anybody. How do you kick a field goal there? I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers. You're putting the game on your kicker instead of on Aaron Rodgers.
No, you put the game on the defense.
Instead of Aaron Rodgers. Like, why? And at that point, they're already, what, down 30 points or, you know, whatever it is.
No.
31, right?
One game. They had, I mean, I'm going, there's 220 left or whatever. Like, you got to take another shot at this.
Yeah.
Put the ball in Tom Brady's hands and give him three plays to get a first down. It was ridiculous.
Yes.
I wish I was in a bar with people because we would have been, people would have been yelling at the TV, right? It
was like throwing things. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh.
Yeah, man, it's wild, super wild. But yeah, that's going to go down in infamy for sure.
Yeah, well, Matt.
You think that gets Rodgers to leave?
No.
You think he's staying?
No, I think he's totally staying. I think so. I listened to the Pat McAfee interview.
Okay.
That he did yesterday. So he talked about the beautiful mystery that is, and he talked about the fact that he really was saying that it was more about the fact that this is the last time that this whole group is going to be together. And he noted some guys who are going to be free agents, one of whom is Aaron Jones, their ace running back. So he's talking about the fact that in the short term, it could be some guys from this team that are never going to play for the Packers again. For him, long-term, he talked about the fact that, hey, you know what? There's no guarantee that I'm going to be a Packer for life. He talked about the fact that he'd love to be like Tim Duncan or Derek Jeter or Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant, RIP a year. But he liked to be one of those guys, but there's no guarantee that he's going to play there for life. He could just look across the field to Tom Brady. Who thought Tom Brady a year ago would ever play anywhere but New England? Now he's going to the Super Bowl. So it really talks about that. He touched on the whole Jordan Love thing for the first time, time in a long time. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I think actually this is kind of like a veiled way of him just kind of saying, hey, you know what? I played this well. Maybe you guys need to take care of me. He did throw out the fact that, you know, one quote that I put down in our notes was, this is a direct quote. He said, "The only leverage is how I play." In other words, if I keep playing well, they got to take care of me.
Yep.
Because I got to stay. So that's, I really don't see a Rodgers going anywhere. I think it was a little bit of, just kind of
gamesmanship.
Like I think there's some gamesmanship. Totally.
Just on a total selfish note, I know Nico probably would be in this boat as well. I would love to see him play for the Niners, just to see him play for the Niners. You know, because everyone knows. He doesn't, I mean, he hasn't talked about it, but everyone knows he was pissed that he didn't get drafted by the Niners. And even though he says what he's supposed to say, we know deep down that Aaron Rodgers would love to be on the Niners. Everyone just knows that. So I would just love to see it. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, he went to Chico and then he went to Cal Berkeley. So.
Right, right.
Coming home.
And he was pissed when Alex Smith got drafted over him. Like, He's still mad about it. Everyone knows that. It's like the elephant in the room. Like everyone knows it. Like, oh, I would just love to see it. That'd be so cool.
Well, he's a guy.
Talked about two Tom Brady's, you know, San Mateo. So he's right there in North Bay.
There you go.
Well, speaking of, let's talk to Tom Brady. I mean, you know what, guys? You know what? If there's a question who the GOAT is, I don't think
it's not.
though I will say, I think the defense won this game just as much as he did, because that dude threw three picks.
And yeah, they're Bucs defense is no joke. That is true. They are no joke. So it's definitely going to be interesting for sure, because their defense is solid.
Yeah, they turned two of those picks into three and outs, and I was just like, are you serious?
Right.
Are you serious? So mm-hmm. I don't see it. But I will say I mean, Hector, you pointed it. You already said enough. I still don't see how they didn't go for the yes. touchdown on fourth down. Though one of the things on the third down play, Rodgers had a pretty clear lane.
Yes. Why did, dude? I was thinking the same thing. Like, dude, run. Oh, he threw it. Oh, it's incomplete. Wait, why didn't you run, man? Oh man.
And last week he had a similar read, and he ran it in.
And he so ran
against
in.
The Rams, I think it was probably about 5 yards out. But he you know, it's one of those things. Like, eso duele, eso duele.
Yeah, man, and he knows it. He knows it too. He knows he probably should have ran it, and he probably could have got in. But hey, lesson learned.
And that could be part of the disguise, right? That he's like, I'm not going to blame anybody else because. He knew it was his fault that he didn't run that.
Yeah, way. Yeah, totally. He could have. He almost could have walked it in. It looked like.
Yep.
Like, man, you know, a pump fake, and you got a guy jumping in the air, and you're just walking in.
Exactly it right there. I think I don't know if I texted Nico or whoever I texted, but I'm like, dude, a little pump fake, you're in,
done. You know? Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
I remember that. I remember. Yeah, that was you sent that to me and Nico.
Pump fake, and that pump fake, the guy jumps up, you know, expecting the ball, and by the time he comes down, Aaron Rodgers is in the end zone.
Unreal.
Well, you guys look at the I didn't play the millionaire this week. I sort of fell asleep thinking that I was in it. Did you guys see the winning lineup for the millionaire for DraftKings?
No, I didn't. What was it?
Well, I didn't see it, so I didn't look it up, but I actually got in late, was like one of the $100,000 ones. And I had it pulled up, and I clicked on the wrong button here. But there was, let's see.
Dawson Knox or the tight end.
Well, that was the Nico call. He's like, I get this good feeling about Knox, Greg. What do you think? I go,
yeah, man.
The tight end. All right, here we go. Hold on. 400,000 conference special. All right, here we go. This is, okay. Hold on. Let me get out of there. Hold on. And I'm going to the top. Okay. And the winning lineup was, had Mahomes. And then I saw another one where it was like with Allen, but Mahomes at 28 points, Allen was 27. Jay Williams he had in there at 8, and D Williams at 13. Fournette at 18 was pretty solid across everybody's board.
Yep.
Then it was Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams. Again, Diggs, I think, was the one that let me down, and Jay Brown. I was so in on – I figured worst case scenario – Buffalo was playing catch up.
And that's what I thought. Garbage time. Yeah, definitely.
And there was Jay Brown got nothing. I mean, it was like whatever it was, they couldn't get those wide receivers open. And Beasley was the guy just catching the dink and dunk. And then, so this guy had Adams and Scantling, MVS. And then, of course, Kelsey. Everybody had that. And then he had Knox.
That's it. Knox was a difference maker.
Totally. And then I had Tanyan at 12. And then the defense. Last week I had the Bucs. This week I went with the Bills, and it was the Bills with minus one, and the Bucs at 9 points. So,
yeah. But the running
back, D. Williams, you know, didn't matter. The running back situation, again, we catch up on that stuff next week for the Super Bowl. But Jay Williams, and sort of capitalizing on the end of this game here, nobody signs running backs anymore. They don't pay them anymore, right? It's all these multi-three-head running backs, whoever's the freshest, you know,
my committee.
When you go with a guy in the first quarter, you always look at the guy in the second quarter, so like the guy, the pass catcher. In the fourth quarter, you want the bruising back that can hurt people, you know, because there's too many beatings going on. So,
Yeah, Bucks too. But Ronald Jones, Fournette, even though Fournette, you know, he was, you know, far and away the better back, but Ronald Jones got some good run in there too. So yeah, it's there are definitely committees in there.
Yeah.
This is how it is.
I like the fact, for me personally, I like the fact that I picked Fournette over Jones just because
there you go, me too.
I really thought he was gonna do better. So. Yep.
The most important part though for a running back though in today's day and age, you gotta be able to catch the ball unless
yep.
you're Derrick.
Yeah.
You unless you're Derrick Henry.
You need athletes now. Everybody needs to be interchangeable, you know, like
yeah, Swiss Army knife. Got to be like, Swiss Army knife for
that's,
sure.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. So, so the game's always changing. That's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's. We already previewed it, but let's get into some chisme. So this is kind of the quarterback edition. We already talked about Aaron Rodgers and kind of like his future, the whole thing. Matthew Stafford, his future is pretty much set in the fact that he's going to be traded. And I mean, do you guys have a favorite place where you want to see him go?
I heard he might go to the Rams. You don't have a Rams listed here in the script here, but where it is, he may make it down to LA.
I'd be shocked.
Wants to hang out with Kershaw, man.
I know. I was going to say, as much as we want to get the high school buddies back together,
exactly, man.
The Rams don't have a first round draft pick this year. I think it's going to take a first round draft pick to get Matthew Stafford. And,
got it.
Plus the Rams aren't going to have two, you know, high paid quarterbacks on the to wreck their salary cap. We'll talk about the Rams in a second. But
see him going to Texas.
Texas, which one?
Well, if you get rid of your quarterbacks, you got to get a new quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Deshaun's going to leave.
Well, we'll talk about Deshaun next.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he's saying they could swap him. That's probably the best offer they would get is to be able to get Deshaun for Stafford, you know, for sure. That'd be a good one.
That'd be pretty Niners, incredible.
You know, it's like Brady, right? They talked about where he would go, and then Tampa Bay was a team. They were ready to win right now, right? They just had Winston. That was the problem. The Niners, they're ready to win right now. So basically, you got to go after the quarterback that can jump into a system right now, right? So
Yep. So if not, what do the Niners do if they don't get Stafford?
They go get somebody. They're going to get somebody. I think they're definitely going to bring in somebody else for sure.
They're not going to draft and bring in a rookie, right? They're way too talented to rely on – to hand the keys over to a rookie to run that offense. They need somebody. Yeah.
Well, they want to upgrade from Garoppolo.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's exactly
33% of the time, and they've been here in 3 years. So he's not reliable. He's not tough, right? So, my pinky hurts. I'm out. You know, like that's
– I'm out for 4 games.
Yeah. So you got to have somebody that can take the beatings and actually knows how to actually fall in the pocket, right? Knows how to take a hit. That's a total skill set, right?
Yeah.
How do you like take a hit? Not like I'm going to throw it and then you get somebody's helmet comes under their chin or like, you know, they don't know their blind side. They can't feel the pressure. Those are skills that, you know, I mean, Garoppolo doesn't have. I think it's over for him. Honestly, just listening to some of the radio here in NorCal.
Yeah.
That's just Fitzmagic. Bring it on over.
Ooh, Fitzmagic.
I'm in. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Magic, man, you know, Deshaun Watson trade talk seems to be heating up. I still think he's not going to be traded just because of the fact that I think that the Texans are going to lose a lot of money and, you know, and take a big cap hit. But does he care?
I mean, but why does Deshaun Watson care about any of that? You know what I mean? As far as everything I've seen, the guy is just done. You know what I mean? Like he has the leverage. The way his contract was structured.
Yeah.
He has the leverage to say like, all right, I'm out.
You know, like, well, yeah, he's got the no trade clause. He could almost pick his team that he wants to go to.
So regardless of, this is going to impact the Texans this way. Deshaun Watson just doesn't give a crap about the Texans anymore. He's like, I'm walking. And you know, if you guys figure out your money, I'm out. So, you know, I don't really care what you guys do on your side. I'm out of here. So
yeah, I think, Hector, you're right. There's no way that new head coach is going to come in with Deshaun Watson as quarterback unless they're like buddies already. Because otherwise the quarterback's dead man walking already, right? So if Coley comes in, he goes, hey, well, let's get rid of Senator Watson and let's agree that we're going to do a rebuild. That gives that head coach 3 years.
Yeah.
No. But if you have Watson, it blows up again. He can't manage the room, the locker room.
No, yeah, exactly. And if, especially if Watson, if you have a guy like that, it's going to be a cancer. Because if you could, you've been a brand new head coach, and you're exactly right, Greg. Deshaun Watson's pouting all season. Game over. I mean, yeah. That's not what you want. You don't want your brand new head coach to be dealing with, you know, a diva that's pouting and, you know, talking trash and arguing with you on the sideline, and you're a brand new coach. Like, you can totally see it happening. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they don't want that. Cause so it sounds like, you know, just based on all that, you know, we're just kind of thinking out loud. It's even more of a reason, I think, that he's not going to be around.
Yeah, maybe we can coach the team or quarterback. When do you guys play quarterback?
Hector's got the arm. Hector's got the athletic ability.
Well, that was Vic. Vic had the arm.
That's right.
Vic had the arm. I never. You know, I was a baseball guy. I was a baseball and basketball guy. Vic was the football player.
Well, just to kind of, you know, and this breaking news happened while we were recording tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday evening. Dun, dun, dun. The Texans have hired Ravens assistant David Culley to be their head coach. So they are getting compensatory picks because they are hiring a minority candidate. He is African-American. So, you know, it's, you know, we're going to see if they can actually appease Watson. And if not, they're going to have to work something out and get him a trade. This is kind of a fascinating thing. This really feels like an NBA trade. And I mean, one of the few times that the NFL can have an NBA trade. So
right,
it's fun.
Right.
It's fun. Let's go to the Rams. And it's really looking like either the Rams are doing some major tough love on Jared Goff to get him to improve, or they're just kind of like openly saying goodbye to him, you know, over the air. Cause it's just both the GM and head coach, Sean McVay have talked about that, you know, it's an open competition for Jared Goff going into next season. And I don't think it's John Wolford is the option, the right other option, but he's not tradable cause he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. And who's going to take on that contract for a guy who's coming off of a tough season? I think this is going to be a fascinating offseason. And, you know, those of us, you know, Hector, me, Ricky down here in LA, I mean, Ricky's a Charger fan, so he doesn't care. But,
nope.
We've got a ringside seat to this novella breaking
that's
out.
Right. Over. That's
yeah,
right.
This is good. That's all it's going to be.
I got my popcorn right here ready, Orville Redenbacher. I'm just going to enjoy the show.
Oh, it's going to be Corazon Rotors.
Almost a DC Wild Wild West in the NFC in Espanol.
El Oeste Loco.
Yeah.
El Oeste yeah. Loco Loco.
The Rams and the Niners, they got to keep up, you know, with the Jones, right? Like, they have to get a quarterback. And that's the way the West is, like, you're primed. If it's not the best conference right now or best division, it certainly will be next year for sure if everybody's healthy, right?
Yeah. Think about it. If somehow the Rams and the 49ers upgrade a quarterback, whoo boy, we already got Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray in the division. Ay, Dios mío, that's going to be
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, he's up for the draft this year, right?
Yeah,
he's Jacksonville. Going
Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just saying, you know, if they could trade for him, I mean, he's like, you know, remember the Titans, Sunshine?
Remember the Titans.
He belongs in California, man, with the flowing hair. Fabio football, man. Fabio football.
Fabio football. I love that. We're gonna call him that. Oh, that's his name.
It just might happen, man.
No, Johnny football. We got Fabio football.
They're not gonna trade him. They're not gonna Jacksonville.
Yeah, there's no way. Because they just brought in
Urban Meyer.
And, Urban Meyer to be the head coach. So exactly. I'm sure that's part of the package. That was part of the deal. Like, give me Trevor Lawrence and I'll sign on the dotted line. So he's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, one last chisme item, kind of like a clapping it out, pouring one out. Jason Witten retiring, 17 seasons in the NFL, 1,228 lifetime receptions, number 4 all time behind Tony Gonzalez. But hey, you know, congratulations, great career. I had him on many fantasy teams. But yeah, congratulations, big guy.
Back to the booth, you think?
I think so. Back to the booth, and in a few years, going to get a gold jacket. Well, since we're in the teaching phase, I put together an article for our FamiliaFFB.com website, kind of like just talking about some of the things learned. So, Greg, I don't know. I don't know if we told you, but we launched this thing on Cinco de Mayo last year. Just cool. Made it fun. This is episode number 120 right now.
You're serious?
Which is amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, so awesome. Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And you know, we did it just, I mean, obviously to have fun and everything like that. And hopefully we find, you know, hopefully
and argue
and argue to make the family arguments even more entertaining. But you know, along the way we really picked up some things. And you know, I think for me personally, I think I wrote like 2,500 words about different things that I learned. And I mean, I know for me, it was phenomenal just to kind of learn from other fantasy analysts and get to know a few other people, listen to them, get to interact with them. But to me, the biggest things that kind of came out of the last year, and I put down three for today to talk about. For me, the QB needs to have some kind of rushing upside. It's become clear as daylight. Just the way the way the game is just really evolving. I remember when I was my first year playing fantasy football in 1990, Randall Cunningham was kind of like the cheat code, like there. But now it's like, you need that guy, you know. Josh Allen, you know, was somebody that we all liked kind of going into the season just because he ran the ball. We didn't expect him to throw 37 touchdowns, but I think that is a big thing. I mean, for me, my two teams that made it to championships, one of them, the quarterback was Justin Herbert, where my backup was Jalen Hurts at the end of the season. And the other one was my quarterback was Ryan Tannehill. So it's just like, you need that rushing upside, even though
mobility.
Yeah. You need that. To me, another thing is rethinking the first two rounds where, you know, do you really need to take a running back right off the bat? And I don't know if that's necessarily true. The two teams that I just talked about, one of them, I went Davante Adams in the first round and that took me to the finals. The other one, I grabbed Travis Kelce in the second round and he had an all-time season. So it really showed me that you don't have to be so strict.
Look at Nico. Nico drafted Barkley, right? In the first round, he went out and he made it to the finals.
Exactly. So. And that was the thing, you know, like my Dodger league, which is 14 teams, which is my deepest league that I play in. I looked and there were 17 running backs taken in the first round, 14 of them busted. So, and I, by saying busted, I mean, they missed time. They missed at least one game or multiple games. Some of them the rest of the season. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah. And there were not, and in those first two rounds, the only bust receivers were Michael Thomas and Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Every other receiver hit. And then you had finds like, you know, DK Metcalf and AJ Brown and Stephon Diggs later on. So that to me, I'm really rethinking that. Definitely the tight end, grabbing an elite tight end for tight end leagues. You know, shout out to Nico for that. He had to jump off the call to take care of a work emergency. And the other one, and this one has become crystal clear. My third one became crystal clear the more I played DFS. You're playing the matchups as much as you are the player. And that to me is what really came shining through. You're looking at the matchups, the wide receiver cornerback matchup. You're looking at, you know, the running back versus the defense. David Montgomery was a prime example. He had that crazy late season run where from week 12 on, he was the RB1. And that took them all up to the RB6 on the season. Because why? He had cupcake matchups every week. He won people leagues because he was so phenomenal. And really, it was one of those things who, before the season, and heck, we talked about this plenty of times, people were like, who wants to draft David Montgomery? And he ended up winning some people league.
Yeah.
Because those matchups. So that to me, when the schedule comes out, I think it comes out in May, we're really going to pour over that schedule on this podcast. So,
well, yeah. I gotta, because I think I mentioned it. I haven't played traditional fantasy football in league setting in 5 years and played it so many years. So I never, I won't say that. The only thing I looked at is my first round pick. Who is my first round pick going to be playing in like the playoff leagues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yep. What are the matchups for my number one pick?
Yeah, for championship week, just in case I get there. Yeah,
my exactly. First pick, or second, third, and try to analyze that, I was screwed. My strategy was always, and again, you guys are like, you guys do standard draft. There's no PPR, right?
Right.
That changes a lot, especially in the running back situation, right? Because there's only a few running backs, and if you got to start two, you have to get a running back. Quarterbacks, they don't have add as much value as a running back, because a quarterback, if you have two of them, you can find a matchup either week. They don't differentiate that much, right? So whereas Rodgers is consistent or it's a passing league, receivers, on the other hand, I think receivers, there's a wider pool now as well. So I think when you guys are talking about all the guys that went for running backs first, there's just not enough of them out there. So if it, like saying there was a tight end league, you're going to try to grab a tight end, right? So I think every league is different. And I think the game has changed and you have to evolve every year. I look at systems. I will draft for a system, right? So Baltimore's known as short plays, like fast. I think I sent you that sort of that grid of like the style mm-hmm. of play.
Yes. And
why would you want a team that tries to do 7-8 minute drives? Because they want to wear down the clock to keep their defense fresh the whole game, you know, versus somebody that does run and shoot and wants to, like, you know, pass the ball all game, you know. So I think it's all different. I think each league is different, but you bring up good points. You know?
Heck, do you have a favorite lesson learned?
I think more than anything, just doing the podcast was just the amount of research and knowledge that I actually, yeah. that I was actually able to gain. Because even, this is the first time in my entire life that I've ever studied, like really studied the rookies, you know, the NFL draft and the teams that the rookies are going to, and, you know, what, you know, how that's going to play out. You know, I've always gone into our fantasy drafts, like, okay, well, this guy came out of Alabama, so he must be good, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I've never really done a deep dive. You know, we had T. Higgins and we had Justin Jefferson and all these guys that I actually was like, you know what? Oh, you know what? I did research. And you know what? I really like this guy's height and, you know, yeah. the way he's built. You know, I've never even looked at how tall a guy was or anything like that. This is the first year I did that. And that made a huge difference. Just the amount of information and data that I collected just going into the first – just going into our draft itself, you know, even before drafting and just taking it through the entire season of podcasts, you're just able to know so much. And it's crazy, I think, when you have this general conversations with people, just, you know, water cooler chats with people, just like at work, like those you and I am about, you know, whatever the game. And next thing you know, I'm just like pouring out like all kinds of information. They're like, whoa, man, like, you know, a lot. Like, oh, super. maybe I should turn the volume down a little. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt like I just was able to touch on, like, every player and every team and every game. It was kind of crazy. It's kind of, you know, knowledge is power. So it was pretty cool.
And that's how you get us some more subscribers to the podcast. So that ooh. You know, when people are like, oh yeah, hey, I got to listen to this.
Right. No, for sure. Exactly. Yeah, I've given enough people our link and our, hey, check me out. You know, this is, you know, go here, go there, you know, check it out, you know, Spotify, you know, take a listen. Oh yeah, check it out. You know, it's pretty cool. Self-promotion.
Hey man, we'll take it. We'll take it. So, well, we're going to close this one with a kind of like a flash mock draft. Just one round. We're going to pick 12 players. Just thinking, you know, who would we pick if we were picking, you know, for fantasy league right now? So, Hector, I'm going to put you on the clock first off. Who you got the 101. Who are you grabbing? CMC. I agree. Hard. Even, you know, I mean, to me, the thing is he didn't have any surgeries. There's no, you know, the injuries that he had this year are, are, you know, were, you know, were not, and it, he just needs to recover. So I don't think it's a question. So maybe he got rid of everything. Greg, who would you take number two overall right now?
Oh man. So you knew that. Wow. Okay. So I'm going to go in for the long haul. I am not so sold on the New Orleans situation right now, with the quarterback. And I am not so sold on Minnesota with what's going on. So I'm going to pass on Kamara and Cook, and I'm going to sacrifice and go with Henry, knowing that he gets better in December and that he can't be stopped. So I'm going with Henry number two.
Ooh, that's a good pick. That is a good pick. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm looking at this one and, oh, you know, I'm going to go, it may be a little bit of a reach, but I really like the way it closed the season. And I agree on Kamara and Cook. I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor. I think he's going to take, you know, he ended up as the RB6 this year. I think he's going to be a top running back next season. And, you know, they got the great offensive line. I think they're going to upgrade at the quarterback level. They've got a solid team all the way around. They are going to, they do need to either find a new left tackle. Quentin Nelson is a possibility to move there. And then maybe they get a new left guard, but I'm thinking Jonathan Taylor. So that's my pick. Heck, going back to you, you got we left you some guys.
Oh yeah, you guys left me quite a few. Well, based on our chat earlier, I'm going to go wide receiver. Let me think here. Gosh, give me Devontae Adams.
hard to pick. 18 TDs, stud.
Give me Devontae Adams. Only because Drew Brees is getting up there. Michael Thomas was a stud going into last year's draft, but you know, with Drew Brees kind of getting up there in years, and Michael Thomas with his injuries that he had, and you know, it's an ankle. It's just, you know, you never know with that. So I'm just, Devontae Adams is just, he's just an automatic. The guy's just automatic. So give me him. I you can't go wrong. You know, Rodgers to Adams. That's like the sun coming up in the morning. So
that's beautiful. That's automatic. How about you, Greg?
You know, I think he's the first round draft. And I think if this was a three team league, that was a great pick. but I'm like, so thinking about if we got a 10 person league and we've got, let's see, what do we got? So Henry's off the board. CMC's off the board. So my pick would be between Cook and Kamara. Oh, man, I'm going to go with Cook. I'm going to go with Cook over Kamara. Again, I don't know what's going on with New Orleans. I know Minnesota's committed. I think Cook has a little more power and burst, and he gets more goal line touchdowns. So think about that. Kamara loses goal line touchdowns to everybody else. So especially the Swiss Army knife quarterback, what's his name? Hill, you know?
Oh yeah. Especially if they move on to Hill next year.
Yeah. So think about that.
That said, I'm still taking Kamara in this round.
No.
I think it's tough to pass on. I mean, that six touchdown game really kind of, you know, it's the possibility that you could have those games were with multiple touchdowns, though. I do agree. The red zone carries are going to be tough. Are going to be tough to come by. How about you, Heck? Number seven. All of a sudden, the draft just kind of gets different at this point.
Think of it. Hold on. Let's set this up though. Think of it as like, Hector, you're not drafting in a three person league. Like,
right,
the top 10 players, right? Like, where are you going?
I'm gonna take Eckler.
Ooh, interesting. Por qué?
Austin Eckler.
I'm gonna have a fantasy football league next year. I want you in.
I just like the Chargers offense, man. I think if it's PPR, you know, especially because he's the guy's a pass catcher, but I just like him overall. I think he's going to have a blowout year this year with, you know, Justin Herbert is just, he's just getting started. And I think Eckler being his number one guy there, I think there's big things coming for him. So I'll take him.
Hey, Georgie, is this the way the draft goes? He's a homer. Is he a homer?
I'm not a homer. No, Rick, that would be Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky. Ricky would be the homer.
He's a homer. Okay. All right. Well, here's, I guess, you know, again, in the first round, I'm thinking as I am going to maybe I'm going to surprise you guys here. I'm going Jacksonville. Any drum roll? Any
Ooh,
Robinson, James Robinson.
I say hello, man. Mr. Robinson.
That dude killed it in the second half of the season.
Yeah, he did.
Killed it. Passing yards, rushing yards. And in your league, you guys are standard. So, you know, getting all those yards, I mean, that guy's a beast. I think there's something there. And now they got a quarterback. He becomes more valuable, right?
That's going to be fascinating. I mean, there. Yes, yeah. I love that. I love that. He's like him and DJ Chark are the only guys that are solid. And Chark's coming off injuries. But, looking like a big upgrade there. So now I'm looking here. Saquon is, at number nine, Saquon is very tempting, though I don't like running backs coming off of ACL injuries. I like them in the second year. I am torn between, I'm going to pass on Tyreek Hill and go Travis Kelce just because he is such – he is such an advantage he is such an advantage at that position. And I think at one point he was averaging more than 6 points a game over Darren Waller. Waller caught up a little bit at the end, but no, he was still just such an incredible player. He makes such a difference. I mean, he's moved up from the second round to a first round pick.
Definite.
So was Greg, that the ninth pick?
Yeah. So let's go. Greg, close us out with number 10. I'm gonna go off the board since you're primo. Yeah,
I'm not gonna go with the quarterbacks. That's too easy.
Tyreek.
No, I'm not gonna go with the receiver. Dude, I'm a hardcore running back guy. I know you gotta go about running backs. Who doesn't love a little Chubb? You know, so. So let's
get the
dub in. Big things from Cleveland. I mean, dude, what an exciting back.
I was looking at him too. It's funny that you picked Nick Chubb. I was if it was my pick, I was looking at Nick Chubb as well. So that's a great pick.
Definitely. Yeah.
Cleveland's got big things happening for Cleveland for sure.
Yeah.
That's good. And then think about it. There's still guys like Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, Saquon. You know, you got Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Tyreek Jefferson. Tyreek
Hill hasn't been picked yet either, right?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is still there. Diggs is still there. So,
yeah.
Definitely. I love this. I love this top 10. I love this top 10.
If I had to go quarterback, though, for next year, I might go with Allen ahead of everybody else because he does love to run the ball around the goal line too.
Yep, yeah, he does.
Running quarterbacks, they steal touchdowns from running backs.
They vulture.
So, that outside, you know, Mahomes an easy pick. He can launch and sling it all year round. You know,
but, yep.
So, anyway.
but you know, Allen only had one fewer touchdown pass than Mahomes.
Oh, so. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he had a monster year then. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just he was a QB1 on the season. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So that's not like any surprise there.
You're not completely local.
Yeah, sticking my head out there.
Right. Oh, man. Well, everybody, bueno, primos, it's todo for our show.
For our show.
Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the Familia community. And make sure you subscribe, leave us a review. You can find us at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, I mentioned the original content at familiaffb.com, and make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at familiaffb. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17. Hector.
What the heck? 2 T's.
And don't forget to like us on our Familia FFB Facebook page. Everybody, enjoy the week before the locura, the craziness comes next week. The circus is coming to town pre-Super Bowl. So enjoy the break. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Salud.
Ay, 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 ay.
adios.